So welcome to another session, another live session. My name is Emilio Jose Garcia. I don't know if you guys are new here. If you are, just say hi or new here. Today's talk is gonna be a Q&A about executive functioning skills. This is a topic that was actually requested from some of you. From two or three people actually mentioned you should talk about this. This was back like 1 or 2 years ago. And I was researching them and I was studying them and I did some research and some reading and I became aware of, wow, this is really connected with everything that I teach, everything that I do around organization, around minimalism, around time management. And they are precious tools that I want all of you to be aware of if you are not. And I want to answer questions today about this topic. Okay, but before doing that, how do you guys feel about doing a little ceremony to start? Smatching ceremony. Smatching, I don't know if you guys are familiar with, but I don't know what that means, Kurt. You say much respect, but I'm getting strong ISFP vibes. I don't know. So a ceremony is something that will allow you to connect with the present moment. And smatching means using, burning something that is sacred, something that is special to you. And then the smoke of that fire is not a fire. It's you're just burning. I have Palo Santo, for example. You can burn sage. You can burn any plant locally gathered by you. And then the smoke will allow you to cleanse yourself and to set a nice environment, to set your mindset and to really ask for what you want. So do you guys feel like doing that? Do I have your permission to do that with you? Greetings, friends. Yes to a ceremony. Yes, please. Amazing. Sounds like a plan. So I have a little bit of Palo Santo here, and this Palo Santo, I got it from my meditation retreat that I did a few months ago in Montserrat, in Spain. And then I have a little shell that I got from the beach here in Badalona, and this is normally where I place it. And then I also have this humongous shell that I got it from a lake here in Spain that I went with a friend, and it was full of them. So I asked the universe to please have one. So what I normally do, I put a candle and then I light the candle here, okay? And then I take the Palo Santo and I normally put it on the candle until it is burning, okay? When I see that there is a little flame and smoke starts to appear, that's when I know that it's ready. So right now you can see that the smoke is starting to, if I put it close to the camera, you will see the smoke. So now what I'm going to do with this, I am going to cleanse my energy, okay? So now there is a little flame, and then what I normally do, when the flame goes out, I just do this around my head, around my body, okay? And I visualize my energetic field getting cleansed. And this is also a good opportunity for you to be present. You can close your eyes. It has smell to it. And I wanna offer you some, and you can kind of take some of the smoke. And I want you to cleanse your energy. I want you to come to the present moment with me, to this session. And I want you to notice what's present with you. What are you feeling? What are you thinking about? And then, what would you like to call in? This is also really important. What is your intention or intentions? When I do this, I normally do this practice for the last couple of months. I've been doing this before a live. And when I do it, I cleanse myself and I ask the universe to please give me energy, give me connection, give me clarity, give me what I need to be able to share with you what I need to share. And many times, as you know, I don't have a script. I don't follow something concrete. I go with the flow and I ask the universe to guide me. So what are you guys calling in? So wisdom, focus my executive functioning skills, amazing. What else are you guys calling in? What are your intentions for this? And you can share two things, okay? What would you like to leave behind? And what are you calling in? And I start with this. I would like to leave behind the fear of the unknown, the fear of the uncertainty. I want to leave behind the fear that I have to be in front of you, because maybe you don't like what I say, maybe you judge me, maybe, and I have fear around that. So I want to leave that all behind. And I want to call in clarity, motivation, compassion, love. And I want to be a transmitter of whatever needs to flow through me that maybe is not mine. Okay? So what are you guys calling in and what are you guys leaving behind? So calling in calm, center energy. Leaving behind need to control and bring in peace and clarity. Leave self-doubt. Leaving behind stress, anxiety, and fear. Wisdom. Calling in clarity and focus. Amazing. Leaving behind fear about the future. Calling in peace of mind. Beautiful. So this is just a very simple practice, guys, that we have done in just a couple minutes. And I want to leave behind inaction, executive dysfunction, not joking. Amazing, Kerr. That's amazing. So when I finish with this, what I do, I place this in a safe place. So don't set your house on fire, please. And I normally set it here and I may leave it smoking for a little bit and it will go off, or I will just rub it in like this and make sure that there is no more smoke, and I will place it on a place. I normally have it on my altar behind me. Okay, so you can have different things that you can burn. This is some sage that I was gifted when I was volunteering for the Mankind Project. These are some herbs that I collected in around here. So you can collect herbs, rosemary, whatever you have around you that is special for you, and you can use that. You can place some on a safe container or somewhere that will not burn. You can put some in here and then you can light them on fire and you can use the smoke to do the same thing. I use this because it's beautiful. I found it. So this is just an example of a little practice that you guys can do to help you come to the present moment. Okay? Inertia, calling in new habits. New habits. Very connected with executive functioning skills. Calling in freshness and bright energy. Leaving behind procrastination and second guessing myself. Beautiful. That's such a cool ashtray. Your Barcelona seashell, yeah. So, amazing. So, some of you may think, what does this have to do with executive functioning skills? And I'm gonna go through them before calling in questions, okay? But it's very important for you to be present, to come to the present moment. And one of the executive functioning skills that we are gonna be talking about is called metacognition. That's your ability to be present, your ability to reflect, and your ability to observe. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? What are you doing? Okay? And then emotional self-regulation is another one, that doing practices like this, I consider this self-care, wellness, mindfulness. You can put whatever name you want, but things like this allow you to leave behind the day-to-day mundane things that you have to do and enter, connect with your spirit, connect with yourself, create a pause and spend a little bit of time with yourself in the present moment. Because the only thing that exists, it is the present moment. The past is done, the future is still to come, and you don't know what's gonna happen. So sometimes we are worrying about the future, we are worrying about what happened, and we are never in the present moment. So I invite you to be more in the present moment if you can. Leave fear and complacency, calling in the next chapter of my life. Amazing, Kathleen. So let me go through the executive functioning skills, and I really invite you guys to write them down. Write down these skills. I share them in my course, so you have all of them there. You can just, even if you don't take the course, you can look at the description and you can see the days and you can write them down. They are on the titles of the days, okay? So for those of you who maybe don't have Members Plus and you don't wanna pay for that, I understand. I share some of these in live sessions and there are some recordings available for you. But if you have Members Plus, if you can access the course through my website, through another way, I really encourage you to do that. But basically having them somewhere where you can see them is gonna be very helpful. So these executive functioning skills, I divided them in three areas. One area is how do we think? The next one is how do we feel? And the next one is how do we act? Okay, so there are three executive functioning skills that helps us think. One of them is working memory. The next one is adaptable thinking. And the next one is metacognition. Those are the three skills that allow you to think, to manage how you think. The two that allow you to manage how you feel, they are emotional self-regulation and impulse control, okay? And then the ones that allow you to manage how you act, how you behave, they are task initiation, attention control and focus, time management, task completion, organization, planning, sequencing, prioritizing, and transitioning or shifting your energy from task to task, okay? So I just wanted to give you a recap of the main skills that I covered in the course and the main skills that I can answer questions about, okay? Thank you, Becca. I highly recommend his executive functioning course. It's really powerful. When I learned about these skills, I became aware of different entry points that you have to look at a specific situation in your life from a different point of view. That is adaptable thinking, that executive functioning skill that is called adaptable thinking, that is the skill that allows you to see the reality from different angles. For example, if you are thinking, if you want to analyze your procrastination, being aware of these skills, all of a sudden you can look at the procrastination from an emotional point of view, from a mental point of view, from an action point of view. And then you can realize, is this an emotional problem? Is this a mental problem that I have? Or is this a task management? Is this a task initiation problem? Is this a task completion problem? Is this a prioritization problem? And then you can get started testing different ideas, different strategies, and hopefully you will find an entry point to start making change, to start creating new habits, as someone was calling in. And this is what we all want. We want to leave behind old habits that no longer serve us, and we want to start creating new habits that are going to support the person that we want to become. Okay? So, we often get stuck because of long-held beliefs. Yeah, Sivika, when we were little, we learned about the world. We created an image. We created what one of my teachers says, your occurrent worldview. He talks about how we all have occurrent worldviews. And deep inside, we have an occurrent worldview about something specific, and our mind is going to find reasons to justify that occurrent worldview. So we have a lens that we're looking at reality through. And those beliefs, they were created when we were little normally, between 0 and 8 years old, 7 years old, around that age, that's when you learn about the world. That's when you learn how to express love, how to receive love, what money means, what friendship means, and then you created all the dynamics, all the habits that you needed to protect yourself, to get what you needed, whatever. And then and that's not bad, that's what we all do. But when we start growing up, we keep doing the same things unconsciously, and most likely they no longer serve us because we have access to other things, but we just have to become aware of them. And these executive functioning skills combined, They are going to help you do that healing work, do that awareness work, and do that transformation work, okay? But first you need to become aware of it, and then you can start transforming, evolving, healing, processing, whatever word you want to use. But that's the inner work that we all need to do. Even if we don't know, we have to do that. Can you spell that word? Did you say current world? It's current world, like the earth, world, view, views. And this is an occurrent world view. So basically, for example, imagine that my occurrent world view about money that I learned throughout my life from the people around me is making money is difficult. I need to sacrifice to make money. When you have a lot of money, you are evil, or you become a selfish person. You have to do something that you don't like to make money, and then you can have fun after. So those are some of the occurring worldviews that I have been processing. And now I am feeling, I am telling to myself, making money is fun. I have enough money coming in. I do what I love when I love it and I get paid for it. Work to me doesn't exist. What I do is my passion. So I don't have to go to work. I want to go to work. I want to do what I do because I love it. So those are an example of how to process, how to, I talk about this, about limiting beliefs. It's very similar. You may have a limiting beliefs and then you will flip it and you will create a new empowering belief, a new belief that when you say those words, they inspire you. Okay? Adults never get told that they need to reintroduce their inner child they had to give up. Yeah, Kurt, absolutely. Inner child work is one of the main healing work that we have to do because it all started when we were little. That's when we created the beliefs that we are carrying until now. So it's very, very important to become aware of your occurring worldviews, your beliefs that you have, the framework of the world, how you see the world, and then really question it. Is this true? Is this how I want to live? And if it's, that's not it, then start choosing something different with compassion, with acceptance, with love, with respect. Anytime someone around me says something that I don't want in my life, I will call them out. I will say, when someone says, yeah, it's making money so hard, they say, making money is effortless. That's what I want to believe, and that's what I'm working towards. That's what I'm trying to embody right now. How it's going to come? Sometimes I don't know, but I don't want the other belief. I don't want that in my life because it is poison in your brain, and it will create all sorts of negative beliefs, negative emotions in you, and they will influence how you feel. Emilio, please spell that. Can you type it? What do you want me to type, Roxanne? I can do that. Current world views. There you have it. Okay? Basically, what are the ways you are looking at the world right now? And you can be specific. Okay? So if you look at relationships, maybe you are dating. You are trying to find your mate. So you may have, what are my current world views on finding a partner? And maybe you may have the belief of no one is going to look at me because I'm not thin. No one is going to look at me because I am too bossy or whatever. And then you flip that, you really question it because I'm sure that someone will love who you are right now, the way you are. But you have that belief and you are going to try and find reasons to justify that belief that you are holding. And if you start having a different one, your mind unconsciously is going to start looking for reasons to justify the new one. So that's why I invite you to start choosing different things that occurring. Yeah, maybe it's occurring. Occurring. Yeah, I made a mistake there. Occurring worldviews. Thank you so much, Kurt, for typing that out. So guys, do you have any questions about executive functioning skills? For some of you, maybe you are doing the course and you are aware of them, or maybe you listened to some of my talks about executive functioning skills before. Feel free to ask specific questions. For some of you, maybe this is completely new. So this is your chance to maybe ask the specific questions that you want. So I leave a little bit of space. So does that mean views that are evolving about our worldview? So Roxanne, they can be evolving or they can be the same ones. I think that they evolve when you become aware of them, when you question them, and then you start flipping them, you start transforming them into something different that serves you better, okay? So do you have a specific example about a specific worldview that you may have right now that maybe is causing you frustration or you don't like it? Because examples are always the best way to work and to find answers, okay? How do I currently view a world? How do you currently view the world? Sometimes the work starts by discovering that, because maybe you don't know. I have to do a lot of work about what are my worldviews in this. And sometimes I have to go with my journal, I go to a coffee place, and I think about it, I meditate on it, I start writing about it, because I don't know. It's like, wow, this is interesting, I should know more of this. So you may have to do discovery work, awareness work, through different things, right? Maybe there is a specific area of your life that you are trying to discover more about. And then maybe you can do a meditation on that specific topic. Maybe you can listen to talks about that specific topic to help you understand where you are sitting on, what you believe to be true, and how you view the world right now. The universe will give you what your mind is set on. So John, that's beautiful. That's connected with the law of attraction, right? Whatever you vibrate, whatever you think, similar things are gonna match what you are thinking. And there is another quote that says, you become whatever you think about most of the time. That's another thing. If you are always worrying, you are going to attract more of that. If you are always visualizing yourself in a more positive life situation, if you really feel how you will feel there, you will start attracting more of that. That's why it's so important to try and feel good now. Try to find things that will make you feel good now. Be grateful now. Because from that point of view, from that vibration point of view, you are more likely to attract alike things. Because at the end of the day, everything is all about how we feel. It's not about what we think. It's how we feel in our body. The feeling is what's going to make attraction to similar feelings, to similar energy. So if you are feeling, if you start thinking something that makes you feel worry, and you start feeling worry, you're going to start attracting worry stuff into your life. If you try to be grateful and you try to see what's positive in your life, you will start feeling joy, love, happiness, contempt, and that's better than feeling worry. And so there is a, and I share this exercise with you, there is a vibrational, emotional vibrational scale that you can look at. And I don't know if I have it here. I don't think I have it here. But basically that emotional vibration scale, I think it's called, you can see all the emotions listed from the highest one to the lowest one. And that's a really good way for you to look, where am I now? Maybe you are in frustration. Maybe you are in anger. Maybe you are in worrying. Maybe you are jealous. And then you need to start trying to go up slowly that vibration scale, okay? So T says, when I was doing my inner child work, many of my worldviews were projections of other people. So I had to become aware of what was more in alignment with myself and differentiate what was my thoughts and other people's thoughts or projections. T, that's wonderful. That's wonderful work. and that is wonderful awareness. Once you got there, then you have the opportunity to really decide intentionally how to move forward in a different way. But you have to become, you had to become aware first. So thank you for sharing that. Madeline says, I have a hard time with starting things but not finishing them. I started your course then got distracted. This is likely tied to my recent ADHD diagnosis. Do you have tips to for those with ADHD and finishing things? So Madeline, I will invite you to try and write down all the executive functioning skills and try to do the practice, because there is task initiation, for example, is one. There is task completion, that is another skill. And for example, if you find yourself that you start things but you don't finish them, maybe the task completion needs to be changed. For example, I like playing the guitar, okay? So if I sit down and my task completion is I am going to learn this song, so I'm gonna sit down and I will learn this song, that task completion is pretty difficult to achieve. So I'm gonna sit down even for an hour and I will get up frustrated because I didn't complete the task I put my mind into. But if I change what it means, the task completion, for example, if I say, I am going to sit for 10 minutes and I am going to work on the court. Next day, I'm gonna sit for 5 minutes and I'm going to do the strumming on my right hand. The next day, I'm gonna sit for 5 minutes and I am going to start remembering the lyrics of the song. And then you see, I'm going to start making progress. The task completion is gonna be easier for me to achieve. When I achieve the task completion, I am going to feel empowered. I am less likely to procrastinate. But you have to set more specific task completion. So you have to really redefine what it means to complete that task. So many people, they come to me and they say, Emilio, I am overwhelmed and I procrastinate. And I ask them, what are you trying to achieve? I am decluttering my home. So, holy moly, I feel overwhelmed right now. Because you are telling me that's a humongous task. So of course you are not going to finish it, because maybe you need several days, several weeks. Maybe there is a lot of emotional processing that needs to happen. Maybe there is a lot of physical work that needs to happen. Maybe there is a lot of communication that needs to happen with family members. So you see, you are setting yourself up for failure. You are not being specific. So that is a task completion problem. That's why it's important to understand that skill and to change it. So that is one view, okay? You can view that reality from emotional self-regulation, how you feel when you are thinking about that task. Many times people feel a very strong emotion and they can't even start the task. Or sometimes they start the task, but they cannot finish it, because doing that task evokes a really strong emotion in them. They feel uncomfortable and they leave. So that is an emotional and impulse control, most likely, those two together. Sometimes it's a prioritization. So that's why if you are trying to make progress with the course, you said that you got distracted, I would recommend that you write down somewhere where you can see it. What are you trying to do? What are your main priorities today, this week, this month? Write it down in a place where you can see it. And then when you get distracted, go back to that place. Go back to your journal, go back to however system you want to use, it doesn't matter, as long as you can go there. And then you remember, you look at it. Oh yeah, this is what I was trying to do. And I got distracted with this, that's okay. I come back to the plan, okay? So that is a metacognition practice, okay? Metacognition is coming to the present moment, becoming aware of what you are doing, reflecting on it, and then making a conscious and intentional decision in the present moment. And then you go moment to moment, moment to moment. And every now and then you check with yourself, am I doing what I wanted to do, or am I on autopilot, getting distracted, doing something unconsciously? And this is how we start catching ourselves. This is one of the secrets about executive functioning skills and changing habits. You need to start catching yourself. What are you doing now? I got distracted. Okay, doing what? That, okay, is that what you want to do? Or do you want to go back to the important task that you had? And then you keep making intentional and aligned choices. So maybe setting a timer. Every 5 minutes it goes off. Every 20 minutes it goes off. And that is your cue to, what am I doing? Oh no, I got distracted. Okay, let's go back to the plan. So you get to control how that looks like. But these are some ideas for you to test. And I really invite you to try and finish the course. Try to go through each skill and do the practice. It's only 15 minutes each day, each session. So it's not a long time. Even if you do once a day, I promise you that you are going to start noticing, becoming aware of them, and you are going to start making progress. Okay? So this is Madeline. Have you heard of human design? Yeah, I have heard of that. And that is an interesting tool to also explore, to see what it says about you. And again, this is a tool to become aware of how you function, to become aware of your brain, how you operate, and to become aware of, wow, I am easily distractible. I get distracted very easily. So what strategy can I create to complement my brain in that specific area? Because if I don't complement it, if I don't create something, I know I'm gonna get distracted. So this is you being intentional. This is you being conscious. This is you starting to create a new habit, a different habit of what you normally do. And I don't really love labels about ADD, ADHD, holding, etc., etc. I don't like labels. And I don't like you guys to say, I am a, I have. No, I want you to say, there are tendencies in me that there are ADHD tendencies that right now I am embodying. But you can change those tendencies if you want to. You can complement them. You can become aware of them. I believe that you have the power to change way more than you think. So I invite you to use different kind of language. Try to avoid labeling yourself. Because when you place a label on yourself, you are giving the power away. You are that, so you cannot change it. But when you call it as a tendency, or right now I have the tendency to do this, or right now I have the habit of, you can change a habit, you can change a tendency. So try to give yourself as much power as you can, okay? Are tools such as Pomodoro technique and using timer good for task initiation and completion when ADHD is a factor? Erin, absolutely. And this is why I don't have it here, but we have a little timer that we use with my daughter that is a time timer, and it has a red pipe that disappears. I can't tell you how efficient that is with her. So we went from fighting with her to do the transitioning when we say, okay, you are watching cartoons right now, and then after that we have to go to school, or you are coloring, and then after that we have to put the pajamas on. And after that, we have to brush our teeth. And after that, we're going to go to bed and read a story. And we only have 10 minutes to read stories, or 20 minutes, or whatever. It was a constant fight. As soon as we started to say, Eva, this is about to happen later. So we started to cue her into the transitioning. And then we added the timer. And we put the timer. And now when the timer goes off, she knows what to do. We don't have to tell her anything. And the same happens with people, right? If you are easily distractible, having a timer is going to allow you to limit how much distraction you are allowing in your life. It's going to give you the Pomodoro technique, especially. It's going to give you specific blocks of time where you are going to be focusing on a specific task that you decided prior to. So you decide from the present moment, you say, I'm going to do this task. You set it for 20 minutes or 15 minutes or 10 minutes. I invite you to try different lengths. The Pomodoro technique says 20 minutes. Okay, so you set it for 20 minutes. You do that task. When the timer goes off, you have a 5-minute break. and then you set another Pomodoro, another 20 minutes. You do the task, you have 5 minute breaks. You do another 20 minutes, 5 minutes, and then you have a longer break. And again, that's the Pomodoro technique. You don't have to follow to the T, the time stamps. I invite you to discover what works for you. For me, I have the capacity to do more than 20 minutes. So I will set it for 40 minutes, for 1 hour if I need to. And then I can focus, because when I focus, I want to be in that flow for that long. I don't want to be interrupted. But if you are getting started and you notice that 10 minutes is too much, put 5 minutes. Get started somewhere. And I promise you that you are going to start building that new habit. I also keep the phone on Do Not Disturb. I have used a timer and it works great at first, and then I become immune to it. Frustrating. So, that is good. So you are becoming aware that that strategy, now your brain has looked for a bypass of it. So now what can you do instead? What can you try? Try a different strategy. And I promise you that you will find something different that will help you do whatever you need to do. And guys, at the end of the day, don't forget that this is your choice, okay? You are always making a choice, consciously or unconsciously. You are always making a choice. Every present moment you are choosing, I am going to get distracted. I am going to go to social media. I am going to go to the kitchen and make myself a coffee. I am feeling too stressed about this topic. It's too difficult. I don't really know how to do it. I'm going to avoid it. But then those things will have repercussions, right? So you need to start taking ownership too about your choices. What are you choosing? Okay, start becoming aware of that too, because you are always choosing something. Maybe you are not even aware of it, but you are. You keep making choices and you keep acting on those choices. So if you want to change how your habits, you have to start making different choices. And at the beginning, it's going to be more difficult. It's going to require a lot of presence. You have to be in the present moment. You need to catch yourself doing the unconscious pattern. And then you have to bring yourself back to the present moment and then start making an intentional choice. Okay? So I found this so helpful because with my perfectionist tendencies, I always thought I had to totally complete everything before I could stop. And I would be procrastinating because of this. So Amy, that's a beautiful piece of awareness. And that's a beautiful example on how perfectionism can get on the way. And perfectionism can be a reason why you may procrastinate. So let's look at that perfectionism. And let's look at the procrastination that is resulted from the perfectionism. So the perfectionism wants to do things perfectly. Whatever that means something different for each person, but in your standards, perfect means something. If you cannot do something to those standards, because you don't have the time, because you don't know how to do it, because you are afraid of making a mistake, then you will never get started. And then you are going to procrastinate. Okay, so that's from the point of view, you can look at that from emotional self-regulation. So you have the emotion of fear of not being good enough. So you avoid it because you don't want to prove that you are not good enough. You can look at that from the task completion that we talked about. What does it mean to complete this task? It doesn't mean to do the whole project. You can break that down into manageable steps. Okay, and there is another... one of the other skills is called sequencing, okay? Sequencing means grabbing a specific project, dividing that project into steps, and then ordering those steps so that you can take them. And when you complete them all, you have achieved the goal, okay? So for example, if you're trying to declutter your home, that will be the goal, right? But there will be how many steps you want to create. So all of a sudden you are breaking down that project into smaller chunks. You are redefining the task completion of each step. And that's going to be easily for you to get started. Task initiation is going to be more manageable, emotionally speaking. You are not going to procrastinate because of fear, because you know that it is doable. You have set that standard. You have reframed that into something that you feel you can do. And you are also aware of your perfectionism. I am a perfectionist too, and I have to keep that perfectionism in check. Sometimes it's good to be a perfectionist, but sometimes you just don't have infinite amount of time to do things. So you have to set a deadline. You have to be intentional. So what I do with my perfectionism is to set a specific deadline. For example, I want to create a course. How much research am I allowing myself to do? I have to set a limit, because if not, I will spend 10 years researching and I will never create the course, because I will never know everything. So you have to find the balance there, and you have to find something that feels good to you. So also, when internal distraction, a thought pops in, write it down on your pad. Your brain knows you have captured it and can relax and carry on. Yeah, Alison, that makes me think of a practice that I heard from one of my teachers too. That is sitting in silence, doing a meditation, just sitting in silence, closing your eyes, and having a notebook beside you, and then you just sit there. And what you said, when something comes into your mind, you write it down, and then you go back to that meditation. Something comes to your mind, you write it down, and then you come back to the meditation. And then once you feel complete, once you sit maybe there for 10 more minutes and nothing else comes out and you are completely quiet, there you have your to-do list. There you have the things that you are worried about. There you have the things that you need to take action on. So it's really, can be a really powerful practice. And what you say, it allows you to relax, because all of a sudden you have done a brain dump. And I have talked about this concept of doing a brain dump. And from that brain dump, you can do another exercise, right? So the brain dump is basically dumping everything from your brain into a piece of paper. And that is going to allow you to relax. I'm not going to forget. I will take action on it, etc. And there is a live session that I did about brain dump for you to check, okay? Yeah, brain dump is exactly what I call it. Amazing. Yeah, I try to catch myself with the phrase done, not perfect, as in accomplishing the task imperfectly is better than not finishing late to another task expense. Yeah, and this is what I notice about myself with perfectionism. Sometimes I try to have all the information I think I need to be able to get started. But many times what I discovered is that when I relax, when I come to the present moment, when I see the next step, but I don't know what happens next, if I take action on that next step that is clear to me, I don't need to know everything else yet. I know the direction and the first step is showing up, so I take action on that step. And what I discovered is that when I start taking action, the next step shows up. And it becomes clear to me, and I take it. And then the next step shows up, and then I take it. And then all of a sudden, I complete that project in a completely different way than what I thought about when I was starting. But I don't have to have all the information. Okay, I don't have to microanalyze every single thing, because I may not have all the information. I may need to learn something on step one that will redirect me into doing things differently, because maybe I stumble into a new learning. Maybe I meet someone that can help me. Maybe I learn a new strategy that I didn't know before. And if I were to create a step-by-step plan, when I started, I didn't have everything. I wasn't as aware. And as you keep doing, you keep learning, you keep evolving, and then more ideas are going to start showing up. And you can get to the same destination following many different routes. So don't get stuck in trying to know everything. Just get started taking action with the next available step that you have in front of you. Okay? And this is something that also I share with you guys in other sessions, but sometimes my wife and I, we go to a home, we start helping someone declutter a space, and sometimes I am in that space and I am feeling the overwhelm. It's like, holy moly, there is so much stuff in here. I can't see the ground. I can't see half the walls around me. I don't know what I'm going to find here. And I start noticing the overwhelm of, am I going to be able to help this person? Are we going to have enough time to finish this? And then I start going in my head and I say, shh. I start looking around and I see what is the next available step for me. Oh, I see some books here and some books there. Let's put them together. I do that. And then I look around. What is the next thing? Oh, I see a lot of clothes. Let's gather them together. And then I keep doing that. I just look at the next step. I don't look at the holistic thing yet. And I promise you that after an hour, the room is clear. It's like, holy moly, what happened here? And I was feeling overwhelmed at the beginning. So this is an example of how sometimes you just have to keep taking the action. Don't get stuck because you don't know what next three steps you have to take. Just focus on the next one. And sometimes the next one will appear at the right time. So you guys are talking about apps. Thank you so much for sharing resources in the chat, guys. I see you helping each other. That is wonderful. Alison, what are the four P's? I let Alison answer that. I think I know what she means by that, but I let her answer that to make sure that it's the right thing. But basically, you have four quadrants, and I think you have important, not important, urgent, and not urgent. And then depending on the task, you place it on that quadrant, and then you know, I don't know if that's what she means by that. Yeah, and executive functioning skills, sometimes they are caused by an accident. And again, this course can help you. This information about looking at each executive functioning skills can help you really discover how are you operating after that accident? What do you notice in yourself? What do you notice in your brain that maybe you feel that needs help? And then that's when complementary strategies can come into place. So for example, if we look at working memory as a skill, and maybe you had an accident, and then you recognize like, wow, I don't remember a lot of things as I used to. So my working memory is not as good as it used to be before. So now you are aware of it. And this is not good or bad, it's just what it is. So how can you work around that? Maybe you can use a complementary strategy of having a journal, a complementary strategy of making sure that you have systems in place to put the information down. So for example, I am really bad with names. I'm really bad remembering phone numbers, addresses, stuff like that. So I do have systems. Anytime I meet someone new, I try to write their name down. If someone shares their address or their phone number, I put it always in the contacts that I have on Gmail because everything syncs with all my devices. So if I go to their home, I don't have to ask again for the address. I have it there. And I have a journal to write down specific information. And I do an exercise called a creation where I make sure that I write down my priorities so that I can come down. I can come back to this and I can look at this again. And I can remind myself, oh yeah, these are the things I wanted to work on. So make sure that you are trying to create complementary strategies that make sense to you. Okay? There are so many tools out there. Yeah, and this can also be a source of overwhelm, the amount of tools that are out there. And you feel that you don't have the right tool. And you feel that you are missing out because there are 1,000 tools that you haven't used yet. And that's why it's so important to really focus on what am I trying to change? What am I trying to become aware of? What is my specific frustration right now? And then maybe you can find a test, a tool, but don't try to try all the tools all at once, because they are gonna be overwhelming, okay? So I know so many tools. I even did Emilio's weekly creation, but it's too much for me. Yeah, so the weekly creation, Alison, it was too much for me when I did it. I remember I spent probably 3 or 4 weeks that I couldn't do it. And my wife, Samantha, was saying, Emilio, what do you mean you cannot do it? I mean, you talk about all these things all the time. How come that you cannot sit down and create your week? And I just couldn't do it. And I was, but it's not that I couldn't do it. It's that there was a process that needed to happen before I was able to put down in paper all those intentions, because I was facing confusion. I was facing, because I am self-employed, I have the ability to do whatever I want, pretty much, right? So that is a good thing, but it can be also be a bad thing, because I don't have someone to tell me what to do when. So I realized, like, wow, I don't have structure. I am afraid of commitment. I don't want to lose my flexibility, etc. So a lot of things starting to come up for me, and I had to process them. I had to become aware of them. I had to start creating structure. And then after that, I was able to start with a basic week that had breakfast, lunch, dinner, grocery shopping on one day, when I was playing squash. And that's pretty much it. I didn't put anything else. And then I tested that, and then I started to add things. So it was a very slow process for me to create a week. So it's normal if you are overwhelmed. It's normal if you feel that it is too much. That is a sign to me that there is stuff that you need to become aware of, stuff that you have to process, things that are challenging you. And it's a beautiful tool for you to do that work. My time needs to be completely open, free and flexible. This works for me. Alison, I love that too. And my masculine energy wants to have structure. My feminine energy wants to be completely free and flow and don't do anything and be completely, yeah, free. But when you have a business and you have to place calls, you need to, like, this call needs to happen a specific day, a specific time. So that is a commitment. When I had my daughter, she's there all the time. I cannot stop being a father, right? So my wife and I, we needed to start creating structure, and I have to take care of her, and it's non-negotiable. So all those things creates forced structure, if you want to call it, but there is an opportunity for freedom also. And that's why creating that week for us, for example, as a couple, sitting together and creating a week that supports both of us was the key that took us from feeling overwhelmed, frustrated, and resented with each other, because we didn't know when we were allowed to do what, to having a week that we both understood, a week where all the responsibilities were taken care of, and a week where we had windows of time to be free. I could be free, she can be free, and then we had family time too. It wasn't until we created that week that we felt that way. So for us, it was really interesting to do that exercise. But yeah, I really get what you say about the flexibility, the relationship between flexibility and structure. And sometimes it feels that what I have discovered is I needed to create structure so that I could be flexible. That's the reality of it. And it sounds counterintuitive, but that's what happened to us. We were not free when we didn't have structure. Quite the opposite. We were slaves all day long. We had no idea what was happening. I couldn't say yes to my friends, I'm going to play squash, because I didn't know when. Couldn't go to yoga. We didn't know when we were doing things. And when we started creating structure, that's when we could create flexible time. So it was funny to see that process unfold. Sometimes I feel I am procrastinating, but often it just wasn't the right time to begin or finish because something else needed to happen first. Amazing. So Stacy, that is a beautiful example of how you discovered that things needed to be done in a different way. So you change, you evolve, and then you test again until it becomes something that you enjoy. It becomes something that flows. It becomes something that you feel aligned with. And sometimes you're going to create something that you are going to dislike, and you need to go through that process so that you can discover what you want instead. So this is the beauty of this, that anytime you discover something that you don't like, you have also discovered what you want. Okay, so if I am frustrated because I don't like that, I don't know when I can go to the gym by myself. Okay, I have discovered that I want to have the time to go to the gym by myself. So now that is a very specific request that I can go to my wife and say, when can you be with Eva so that I can go to the gym and exercise? And she can do the same with yoga, with whatever activity she wants to do. So you see, you are discovering things through the frustration. Yes, the creation is brilliant and genius. My business needs to be responsive and I can't plan. I tried the creation for weeks. Yeah, so Alison, in that case, maybe you don't create a structured week with a specific timeline. For example, in my week, I don't have every minute done. I have the things that are tied to a time, they have to be there. So for example, if you look at my week, inside timer calls, they have to be there at 2:30 p.m. because that's when I show up here. If not, you guys wouldn't have me here, right? So I have to put down the things that need to happen at a specific time. If we are giving a presentation for a business or for a university and they agree on doing it on Tuesday at 10 p.m., we have to be there at that time. But everything else, like course creation, management of emails, social media, whatever, all of that, all of those things, I can do them when I feel like. So what I do, I create blocks of time where I say, I have to get this done. I have to go to Inside Timer and answer to my students in the course classroom. I have to respond emails once or twice a day. I have to, so I put down the things that I need to do. And then instead of me trying to force them into a specific day or time, I know that those things need to get done, but I then sit down, for example, today after this live, I will be done and I will say, okay, how do I feel now? I feel like I can get done. Yeah, I'm gonna go to inside the course classroom because I feel energetic and I want to support my students. So I will do that and I will done it. And when you do that a few times, it becomes automatic. I don't have to look at that list anymore. It's a habit. It just happens. So that's what I invite you to try with your business, if it's a flexible business. I also find that the more specific the request, the easier it is to manifest. Absolutely, that is a wonderful realization. I am identifying some obstacles here towards success. Fear, overwhelm, anxiety, inner child work, things that need to be looked at. Identification of masculine and feminine energy, influences of family, need to structure, restrictions of time, frustration, physical attributes, time management, rigidity, executive functioning skills can help to resolve many of them. Yeah, Becca, that's a really long list, but that means that you have been doing work, because the more you work, the more aware you become, the more avenues you see, the more possibilities start unfolding for you. Because the more you do your inner work, the more capacity you are creating. And then the more you are going to start seeing. And then it's important to become aware of that. And at the same time, become aware of the overwhelm that that can bring. And also take it one step at a time. Accept that you cannot do everything all at once. We are all on a journey. Sometimes it goes faster, sometimes it goes slower. And the more we progress, the more things we find. And it's a never-ending story. So we have to really accept that. Because if not, we will become really fearful of missing out, fearful of not having enough time, etc. Yeah. So guys, this was a wonderful session. There is so much more that we could talk about. But we reached the hour and I don't want to steal more of your time. If you found value in this session, as always, I would love if you can support me with a donation. Donations support the work I do and support my family too. And I hope that you can take something from this session. I will have the recording available for you to listen to again if you want to. Any quick tips on emotional self-regulation, please? So Anna, when it comes to emotional self-regulation, the first step is to become aware of the emotions. Second step is to be able to give space to them without having to do anything. It's very important to sit with what is. And this is tied, emotional self-regulation is very tied with impulse control. Many times we feel something strongly and then we act on it impulsively. It's unconscious, it's on autopilot. And the work here is to use your metacognition skill to become aware of the emotion. You can locate the emotion in your body. You can breathe. You can do the breathing technique. Any breathing technique that you want will allow you to start moving that energy. And then there are many ways of expressing that energy. You can grab a pillow and scream into the pillow. You can pound the pillow with something. You can have a tantrum. You can push a wall. You can do so many techniques to try and move that energy. But it's very important to don't ignore the emotions that you are feeling. They are true. They are there for a reason. So just give them space and try to see what they want from you. Try to notice them and always try to create a pause between you feeling the emotion and you doing something that emotion is triggering on you. It's important to create that space because that's going to allow you to stop impulsively acting, doing something that you may regret. And then you are going to start learning, why is this emotion here? What do I need to do with it? And sometimes you have to grieve. Sometimes you have to express something to someone. Sometimes you have a frustration. Sometimes you have a need that is not being met. Sometimes you may have a past experience that you had and it's coming up. And that's causing a lot of, sometimes it's PTSD, maybe not as high as PTSD, but something like that, that every time you smell something, you hear a noise, you feel something and you act on it. So maybe emotional self-regulation is going to allow you to slowly start managing those emotions, create space, and hopefully start acting differently with them. So this is a quick reply on that, but there is a lot of things that you can listen to about this. In the course, I go deeper with this too. And every person is different when it comes to emotions. Sometimes you may need to do inner child work. Sometimes you may need to do a different kind of healing. Sometimes maybe you can do some tapping. Maybe you can do some somatic healing. Maybe you can explore having an intentional dialogue, an imago dialogue, if you're having problems with your partner. So there are many different avenues that you can explore that may help you process those emotions that you are feeling. Okay, so I hope that was good. So thank you so much, guys, for being here. I really, really appreciate your presence. I really hope that you have more awareness about your executive functioning skills now. I hope that you can start becoming aware, more aware of them, and hopefully finding strategies, start discovering different complementary strategies. If you can, I really, really invite you to do the course. I will support you inside the course classroom. If you take the course, you have the opportunity to ask deeper questions, to share at the end of each lesson. So feel free to take that course if you feel inspired. And I hope to see you next week in the next life I have. We are all giving by being here. Thank you. Yeah, this couldn't be possible without your presence. So this is something that we all create together. So I am very grateful for that. Okay? Okay, guys, have an amazing rest of your day and have a wonderful weekend. And I will see you on Tuesday next week.